And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Mickey Brennan. And let's very, very tanned Davey Rispin. Davey, you're abroad at the minute. You're in Gran Canaria. Surely to God, that's not a real tan, because that's just mental. It looks like you've dropped yourself or dipped yourself into an absolute huge bottle of tannin oil or something like that. Like, was there something leaking in the swimming pool or whatever? Because that's an incredible colour you have.
There was a bit of a dye in the swimming pool, Mickey. I'm pretty sure it was like a pool of chocolate and dipped me into it. And I couldn't wash it out. No, it's been 35, 6 degrees for the last week over here. And it's just been unbelievable, but probably nearly too hot. But listen, anytime you get a colour in, whatever, you're October, you'd be pretty happy. That should see me through to the start of the cup competitions next year, which is great.
Well, we might have to do a poll on this now, so we might see if people think that your tan is real or fake. You do like a good poll yourself, Davey, so we might have to get a poll done up on Twitter or on Facebook just to see if people think that it's real or fake and whatever. But we'll wait until you're home and we'll get a picture of you and we'll stick it up and we'll get a before and after type thing to see what the people think.
Yeah, and I have another one now next weekend, so Benidorm now on Friday, so I'll just top it up again for another few days.
Yeah, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. How is it that I can't even get a trip down to Kells and you can get a trip to Gran Canaria and then Benidorm in the space of a week?
Listen, I extended the offer out to you, Mickey, and you deliberated long and hard, but you bottled it in the end, so
I have commitments, Davey.
Commitment issues, I think, is what you had.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Brilliant. And I'm telling you, that's this man from Dunchoklin out there while you were there. So there's a few lads away doing warm weather training at the end of the season.
Yeah, there is. And I know there's a good lad over in the Algarve this evening, tonight, God help them, for Gibraltar versus the Republic of Ireland as well. I know Brendan Byrne from Ballybracky is a good listener. He's over there for the match. And he's there to the Wednesday, utilising it as a holiday. So not a bad time to get away. And I suppose a lot of teams are finishing up now and players are deciding to get their holidays in now, which is nice as well. A lot of lads don't get to go away between now and then.
Who did you meet in Gran Canaria?
Ben Duggan from the Joplin. So I'd be good friends with Ben from college. And he was his missus is actually from Gran Canaria originally. So he's over there. He's leaving for Australia now in a month's time, emigrating for a year. So it was nice to catch up with him last night. We watched the rugby and had a bit of crack.
And did you show him all the spots to go to?
I did, yeah, because he wouldn't be as familiar with Puerto Rico. I think he's more up Las Palmas area. So, yeah, I'd give him a good tour around the place.
Good stuff. Well, come here, look, we better get started on this podcast because there's a lot to get through. And we have a whole host of things. We obviously had Hurling finals weekend. We had the LGFA Junior A, Intermediate and Senior finals. We'll also be giving you the Kiko Sports Team of the Week from the finals weekend. And we'll be announcing the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and Blackwater Inn Top Scorer of the Week. That obviously went out already on our Patreon service at the end of last week. We have interviews there with Keith Curtis and with David Larkin from Summerhill and McKenney. We also have a couple of things in from Meath GAA about the hurling. There's a player survey that they want us to talk about. And also the Centristown mothers and others are heading off for a nice little trip to New York. We'll go through the lottos, we'll go through the Insta, And that should do us. So we'll get started, Davey. The hurling results from the weekend. The Junior 2 hurling final took place on Saturday. And Clonmacgill, who were in the Junior A final and were in the Junior 2 hurling final, didn't come away with anything from either final, because it was Kilskeer Moyla who won the Junior 2 final on a scoreline of 2-12 to Clonmacgill's 11 points. Disappointment for Clonmacgill, elation for the lads from Kilskeer Moyla.
Yeah, and it was kind of like a dads and lads team from Kilskeer Moyla. You know, a lot of lads who would have soldiered first team hurling for a number of years, and I know they would have been disappointed to go out to the intermediate at semi-final stage, because that's where their focus was. But they galvanised themselves with this competition, and Ronzer McGuinness, who's 42 years of age now, still going strong. He hit a goal in four, was immense, and man of the match performance, and great buzz for them. They have the likes of Joe Mealy involved. They have a nice mix from the two clubs in Moyla, and obviously the Ballinock side of things as well. So it's great success for them, and disappointment obviously for Clonmacgill, you know, as you say, to come away from two finals with nothing to show for it is gut-wrenching for them, but hats off to Kilskeer Moyla.
Yeah, really good win for Kilskeer Moyla, as you said. And that was, of course, the curtain raiser to the intermediate final. Navan O'Matney's 3-15, Kildawkey 2-18, a draw. We're going to a replay because this one went to extra time and finished in a draw. Incredible stuff. The finals have not, in both codes, have not let us down at all, Davey, because when we get to the senior one, that was an epic one as well. But what a final between Navan O'Matney's and Kildawkey.
And they've been so evenly matched all the finals, you know, the teams in them, which is fantastic to see. But yeah, look, that was a belter of a game. I was following it intently on Saturday. Jack Walsh, our good friend, popped up with the equaliser at the end of normal time, forced the game into injury time, or to extra time, sorry. And then in extra time, Kildawkey had to provide a last gasp 65 to draw it and send it to a replay and keep their treble dream alive, which is astonishing. It's probably the fairest result. I think both of them will be pretty happy with it. I don't think there's confirmation of the replay. There was all sorts of talk about the likelihood is it's going to be Sunday of this week, but there was crazy talk that it might be like not for 3 weeks, because obviously the Leinster is on the horizon, and it looks like Navan O'Matney's are going to go into that regardless, and it will go up regardless. That's what we think. But you have to hand it to Kildawkey with the likes of Podge Gagan and Marcin Doran, who was fantastic in the game. Like, some of the great old soldiers for Kildawkey still doing it. And, you know, great credit to Navan O'Matney's also. It was just a terrific final by the sounds of it.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant from both teams. And we do look forward to the replay of the intermediate final. And then on to the big one on Sunday. It was Kildawkey against Rathaut. Rathaut, their double dreams were dashed last week when Summerhill got over them in extra time in the football. They looked good at halftime in this final, Davey, but Kildawkey reeled them in. They were trailing by 3 points, if I'm not mistaken, or 2 points at halftime, reeled them in and got ahead. And Kildawkey's treble still alive as well. So while Rathaut's double is completely gone, Kildawkey's treble is still there to be won.
Yeah, and they're still, for me, the front runners for Club of the Year. I'd say there's still that proviso that they need to go and win the intermediate to cap it off. But if they do, they'll be absolute nailed on certainties for it. But I don't think they'll be too worried about that at this moment in time. They'll be just delighted. Great scenes of celebration in the village on Sunday night when they were coming back with the Jubilee Cup. It was hard fought, Mickey. It really was. Like you were talking about Rathaut leading for the most part. The red card, which was a massive, massive turning point just before half-time, to Dahi McGowan, straight red card. We're not sure exactly what it was for. It was for an off the ball sort of altercation. It was actually a free in for Rathaut, which Podge McGowan converted. But there seemed to be some sort of retaliation from Dahi. Derek Ryan goes in and consults with his umpires, and Julie gave Dahi his marching orders. It was a massive loss. Rathaut, though, in fairness to them, you know, early in the second half, they kept pace with Kildawkey and kept the scoreboard ticking. But in the last 10 minutes in particular, the extra man started to show, and like Kildawkey were spurred on brilliantly by the likes of Nicky Potterton and Evan Fitzgerald, who were terrific. I think they hit 12 points between them. Evan Fitzgerald was man of the match in the game, and Potterton has been hitting that 9 points again, but that's what he's been doing for pretty much all of the championship. So fantastic win for them to see it out in the end and back in the winner's enclosure yet again. Great for Nick Fitzgerald, first year back as manager, and they'll get a great kick out of it, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant from Kildawkey. And again, Rathaut just coming up short in another senior final, and I'm sure they'll bounce back. They'll be looking to go one better in both codes next year, but it is Kildare's year. They are the Jubilee Cup winners on a scoreline of 19 points to 16 in the senior hurling final on Sunday. Davey, I suppose it would be remiss of us not to mention Dunboyne and their minor hurlers doing the historic double. 2-7 to Loughcrew Gael Colum Kills, 1-7 in the curtain raiser to that senior final, and completing a minor double the week beforehand in the minor football. They got over St. Colum Kills by a point, 213 to 212. And absolutely incredible from the Dunboyne based side, St. Peter's Dunboyne.
Oh, unbelievable achievement for them. Like, that's just a sensational double across the card for them over the last couple of weeks. And you have to tip your cap to them. Massive crossover of players there as well. And the work that's gone on in Dunboyne in general over the last number of years has been brilliant. And I think that's just rewards for them. And it just shows that they've got a decent conveyor belt coming up in hurling terms, which is probably what's needed looking at them this year, because they've had back-to-back relegations from Senior A to B, now to Intermediate for next year. But with those guys coming along, you'd imagine they're going to come on strong again next year. And disappointing for Loughborough Gales, because I think Sean Geraghty's in there with them, and he's been doing a magnificent job with a lot of the academy there. They were in a really strong position at halftime. I think they were leading by 2 or 3 points, but they only mustered 3 points themselves in the second half, and Dunboyne got on top and deserved their victory in the end.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Moving on, Davey, it was finals weekend as well in the Junior A, Intermediate and Senior LGFA, Mead LGFA, Keepack finals, and some brilliant results here as well. We'll just start off with the Junior B semi-final that took place in the weekend. It was Trim 3-8, Navan O'Matney's 11 points, so Trim through to the Junior B final on that one. In the Junior A final, it was Waterstown, 2 goals and 12, Mynaldi 6 points. Great scenes of celebration out in Waterstown, and both of us were invited out. I'd love to have been able to go out on Sunday evening. Incredible stuff, incredible scenes out there, and a brilliant win for them. Nafina in the Intermediate, they got the better of D Rangers. Well, they do say that goals win games, and it was the case for Nafina. 3 goals and 4, 13 points to D Rangers, 1 goal and 8. It was 9 scores to 7, but it was 13 points to 11 in favour of Nafina in that one. A brilliant win for them. And then in the Keepack Championship Senior Final, or Senior Championship Final, it was Dunshaughlin Royal Gales 4-14, St. Peter's Dunboyne 10 points. A massive victory for Dunshaughlin Royal Gales, who have been steadily building towards this over the last few years, Davey. Incredible stuff from the Dunshaughlin Royal Gales team.
Yeah, I think that's a culmination of all the work that's gone in over the last probably 5 to 6 years, spearheaded by Shane Farley and his management team, who've done a magnificent job. But they probably felt aggrieved 12 months ago not to have beaten Dunboyne. I think that was Dunboyne's maybe last kick. But they were, of course, going for 4 in a row this year, Dunboyne, which would have been a staggering achievement in its own respect. But I'm not surprised Dunshaughlin Royal Gales won the game. If you had to put a gun to my head last week, I'd have said I'd pick them, but not by that sort of margin, Mick. Not in the slightest. Like, I think they were 10 points up at half time. The offensive, just magnificent football. Niamh Gallagher was outstanding player of the match. Niamh O'Sullivan did what Niamh O'Sullivan does. Niamh McEntee, they've got great quality player in there. Dunboyne just never got going. Like, even Emma Duggan was a little bit more subdued than she's been, you know, in recent times. And obviously not having Vicky Wall available to them was a hammer blow also. Dunboyne have been great champions, but I think that's going to signal the changing of the guard. I think Dunshotgun will go on and win maybe four or five now. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. I know they've got great underage teams coming up as well. So I expect them to dominate Meath Ladies for the foreseeable future. And I think that could be the end of Dunboyne's, you know, Purple Patch of Glory years. They're still a savage side, don't get me wrong, but I think there's a different challenge now facing them, you know, for the years to come and trying to get up to Dunshotgun and Royal Gales. It's amazing the way it flicks it, you know, it's like a switch, it just flicks.
Yeah, I do think that is the end of their stranglehold on the senior cup, because they've owned it, as you said. They were going for four in a row. They've been the powerhouse for the last maybe 5 or 6 years as well, in ladies football and Meath. And I do think that it's the turn now of Dunshotgun Royal Gales. And I don't see them losing too many players in the next couple of years, only adding players into that panel, which is phenomenal. And best luck to them as they go into their Leinster campaign now as well. But we do have
they're playing Kilmacud this weekend, Mickey, in the first round. So it's a really short turnaround. And I know it's... unfortunately, I think it's Niamh O'Sullivan's hen next weekend as well. So it's not ideal preparation at all. I think for them, and I don't mean to be too condescending on the competition, but for them, particularly because it's their first one ever, I think that was the main objective and goal. And they'll obviously give it a crack against Kilmacud, but I don't think they'll be judged, particularly after the first year. You know, I think there's more of an onus if you go and win 2 and 3 to go and challenge in Leinster. But we'll see what next weekend brings.
Absolutely. Well, Davey, we're going to move on to some fixtures from the Keep Back Ladies Championship as well. We're going to run down through these. The Junior E final will take place in Grange Godden at 3:30 on Sunday next, the 22nd. It will see Longwood taking on Carna Ross. Referee for that one is James Costello. Longwood had a superb win over Oldcastle, and likewise, Carna Ross upset the odds by beating Clonmacnoise in their semi-final. Both teams are evenly matched, and we expect a tough battle in that one. Moving on then to the Junior F final. It's between D Rangers and Eastern Gales. That one's on Sunday in Grange Godden at 1:45. And the referee is Sean Gahan. The prelude to the Junior E final is the meeting of the new club, Eastern Gales. And they're going to be taking on D Rangers. D Rangers got into the final as Dunsany conceded. And Eastern Gales scored 3:15 to Slane's 4 goals and 5. To reach the final spot this year. So best of luck to both teams. And an incredible feat there from Eastern Gales. Their first ever venture into ladies football and Meath. And they're through to the Junior F final. In the Junior B, this one will be see Trim taking on Kilbride on Saturday. Trim beat Navan O'Matney's in their semi-final to reach the final. Kilbride dispatched of Gaelcolumkill in Grange Godden, and they'll obviously face off now against Trim. Trim were unstoppable in their first two round games, racking up big scores before their last group match versus Kilbride, which was a 2-point win. The time and venue for that one is to be announced, but it will take place on Saturday. In the Junior C final, it's going to be Drumbarra against Centreton. Again, time and venue to be announced, but it will be taking place on Saturday too. Both teams drew in the early group stages, so they'll be familiar to each other, and we expect a renewed rivalry in that final. From the Junior D, this is the last one. It's Dunamore Ashburn against Summerhill. It's on Sunday, and it will be in screen at 1 p.m. The referee for this one is Mick McDonough. Dunamore Ashburn won all their games in the group stages and awaited Summerhill, who also won all of their games. Both teams won their semi-finals by small margins, so a very evenly contested final is expected. And best luck to all the teams taking the field in that one, Davey. Just hard to get. Like, it would have been lovely to see all these finals being played on the one weekend, but with, I suppose, less daylight hours and whatever at this time of the year, would have been brilliant to have them all last weekend, but it just wasn't possible. And plus, they want to try and get it and give everybody a chance to get to all the finals. So that's why these finals will be played Saturday and Sunday this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the right call, Mickey. Like, if you look at the crowds that there was last weekend for the ladies' finals, it was outstanding. Like, the second consecutive year, the senior final had to be delayed because of crowd congestion coming in. And I know Simon's team was really, really well set up for, you know, what came their way. But across the 2 days, there was monstrous crowds. And I'd imagine next weekend, it'll be no different. I know you're going down the grades, but for a lot of those clubs that you're after talking about, it's their first teams, it's their first finals. And it's likely to generate massive amount of interest. So I think it's the right call. And touch wood, the weather stays somewhere fine for it, and they can get all those away.
Yeah, absolutely. And best luck to all the girls taking the field in those finals.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910, or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, last week obviously was the finals weekend in Meath, and we had outstanding games across all four codes, Junior B right up to Senior. And we had an easy task last week of picking our Kiko Sports Team of the Week, our final Team of the Week for this year. But of course, we will be announcing the All-Stars very soon as well. But an incredible weekend of football finals last week. And while there was less teams to pick from for the Kiko Sports Team of the Week, it was probably the easiest one because certain players just stood out head and shoulders above everybody else, and which was testament to how good these players are to do it in their respective championship finals.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The quality of the 15 that we picked was just brilliant. Like, some of the performances were out of the top drawer. You're right, it was easier to pick, as in it's an easier one to fill, but at the same time, we could have filled another 10 positions with other guys who we obviously touched on in the podcast with honourable mentions and stuff like that. But I'd be very happy with the team which we picked, and I think it's reflective of, you know, their performances in all the finals last weekend.
Yeah, well, the Kiko Sports Team of the Week for Championship Finals weekend was as follows. Charlie Cullen from Rakenny was in goals. John Lavelle from Summerhill was wearing number 2. Evan Murray from Slane wore number 3. He put in an unbelievable performance in their win over Menalty. And Mark Dempsey completed the full back line from Kilbride. A half back line was Podge Geraghty from Summerhill, Mark Byrne from Rakenny, and John Finnerty from Screen, who got over Menalty in their relegation final. In the middle of the field, it was Alan Bowden from Duleek Bellius, and what a performance he put in against Rakenny from the middle of the field, kicking 1-7 on the day. Freddie Newman from Kilmainham got in for his performance over St Dultans in the relegation final from the Junior A. An outstanding performance he put in. 5 points he scored in the evening, and they needed every one of them as well to get over the line. The half-forward line was David Larkin from Summerhill. The centre-half-forward was Owen Frayn from Summerhill, and Connor McWeeney from Kilbride completed the half-forward line. Both Connor and Owen kicked 6 points, but David Larkin kicked 2, but was outstanding on the day of the final for Summerhill. Everything that was good for Summerhill went through. And then the full forward line was Podge McGowan from Slane. He hit 1-4. Keith Curtis from Rakenny just hit the 11 points, the usual for Keith. And then Adam Malone from Kilbride completed our lineup. He scored 2-2 for Kilbride in their final win. Our Blackwater Inn top scorer of the week was Keith Curtis with 11 points from Rakenny. The Blackwater Inn player of the week for finals weekend was Davy Larkin from Summerhill. We mentioned him already. What a performance he put in. Now, we do want to mention before we move on to the interviews, Davy, we're delighted to be able to announce that the Kiko Sports We Are Meet All-Stars event will take place on the 11th of November in the Blackwater Inn in Kells. We want all of our listeners to put that date in your diary. We will be sending out all the nominations very, very soon for that. And all the club PROs will be informed of the players that will be nominated. But Davy, we mentioned the team of the week already, but to go on to the We Are Meath All-Stars, the Kiko Sports We Are Meath All-Stars, can't wait for that night. It's going to be a fantastic night down in the Blackwater Inn in Kells once again.
Yeah, we obviously got it off the ground last year, Mickey. It was a terrific success, massive amount of people at it. And we hope that this year will be just another notch up, you know. We're obviously going to be announcing the nominees and we'll put out our Eventbrite link. And it's a completely free event, as you know. And it's just important that we get registration so people actually confirm that they're coming, just so we kind of see, you know, exactly what the numbers are. But really looking forward to it. It'll be a great night. And we have a charity partner on board as well, like we did last year. So it's completely free night, and all proceeds will go to that charity. So yeah, it's for a good cause too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be announcing the details of the night very, very soon. We want to get the date out there so people know it, and we'll announce all of the guest speakers, etc., on the night. And of course, we'll be announcing the charity as well. It is going to be a local charity once again. And as Davy said, completely free night. Just come down, support your club, support the players that are going to be nominated. And if you have an extra few bob change or whatever it is in your pocket, throw it into the buckets for the local charity, because that's what it is. It's a free night, and if we can do our bit for a local charity, that'd be brilliant. Davy, I caught up with Davy Larkin, the player of the week, and I caught up with Keith Curtis, top scorer of the week, over in the Blackwater Inn in Kells on Sunday evening, and they were in jovial form. So let's go to those two interviews just now.
Joined now by the Blackwater Inn top scorer for finals weekend, Keith Curtis. Keith, you know, on the podcast last week when we were announcing it, I gave a little giggle because I'm getting used to saying Keith Curtis 10 points, Keith Curtis 11 points, Keith Curtis 12 points. He kicked 11 points in an intermediate final. And, you know, when we talk about Keith Curtis and the likes, we know going out on the field that that's a man that needs to be marked. And they still couldn't do it against you in an intermediate final. It was an unbelievable personal experience for yourself and a performance as well. Tell us about the day in question and tell us about the actual game, how you were feeling throughout.
Look, yeah, as I said, it was a special day for me, obviously winning the first intermediate medal. The game now was a roller coaster. Obviously we were down by 6 at one stage in the second half, and I don't know how, somehow we managed to pull it back, just score and score. We just kept believing. I don't think we ever felt that the game was gone. Even at half time we were down by a couple, but as you said, anything can happen in the final, and we just, as you said, a bit of resilience there. It's great resilience in the team to come back year on year. We're still hungry, we want more, and I think it was evident to see we kept going, getting stronger in extra time, and felt our fitness levels were there and stuff like that. So no, it was a great day all around, yeah.
And I suppose when you look at this Rakenny team over the last 5 or 6 years, you know, you've always been one of the names that would be mentioned when it comes to intermediate contenders. But you have gone through transition as well over that 5 or 6 years. And even this year, you lost a couple of players at the start of the year that went travelling. But the lads that come in, the young players that come in, similarly, we were talking about that with Summerhill, they've brought a great energy to the team.
Oh, yeah, I think we've had 5 or 6 minors that started this year, so after coming in into the team and bringing a new lease of life, probably made us all pull up our socks a bit and said we have to work a bit harder for this. I said we lost 2 key players at the start of the year, Kayla Callaghan and Robbie Gary, but instead it was up to other lads to step up to the mantle, and thankfully that's what we did this year.
Were you talking to the 2 lads since the final?
Yeah, I was talking to Kayla. Kayla actually won the intermediate semi-final today in Mayo, so he's into the intermediate final down there at the minute, so I'm sure a few of us will travel down in 2 weeks' time.
Was he gutted not to be around?
I know, he was one of the first lads out on the pitch last Saturday, so it was great to see there was no bitterness or anything like that, so he was all delighted for us, yeah.
Bringing it back to like the actual team, the young players that have come through, new management as well in Donal, uncle of yours if I'm not mistaken as well, but to have Donal involved this year, just a Ratkenny man coming back in, great experience, worked with Andy McEntee and Dermead, managed Castletown as well. Great to have a man of his stature coming back into the club to answer the call and manage the team.
Look, I think Donal's record speaks for itself as a player to All-Irelands, but as a manager, he's been like last bit of success with me there in 2010. He was the selector on that team, so as pedigree is there, and it was sort of an inside man that knew all the players that were coming through as well. He would have coached a lot of that minor squad as well, so I knew what was there, and I still said to him 12 months ago when he got the job, I still felt that it was an intermediate championship in the team, so yeah, he got us along the way anyway.
It was a topsy-turvy year. I suppose the Old Castle game is one that stands out, and that's probably where the belief started to grow within the team.
Yeah, I still think Stosh Brannigan is still on about kicking the point, the level of game, but I know it all rode in that game. It was do or die, and thankfully we just kept chipping the ball over the bar, and you bring it back to the resilience of the team. We just never said die, and just had to keep the foot in the gas, and thankfully it happened on the day for us, yeah.
What about, as well, the experience of the last 2 years, losing to the eventual winners, running Dunchoklin so close, the only team to run Dunchoklin close last year, and probably you were, I suppose, kicking yourselves the goal chances you gave up in the first half that you didn't take, or that you produced and didn't take. That all came flooding back to you, I'd say, in the final.
Yeah, exactly. I felt that we sort of were kicking ourselves last year after Dunchoklin. It was a chance. But not saying, I don't know, would we have been ready for senior football this year? I think another year under our belt, still a young team. The experience was great getting this year, and hopefully now next year we can just take another step into senior and hopefully stay up. Anyway, that's the main goal.
I'll come back to that in a moment. We're going to bring in George Plunkett from the Blackwater Inn. George, talk to me about this man. You've seen Keith playing many a time, and he's just a joy to watch on the field.
Absolutely brilliant. I think the words you used against in their last game, you said he was unplayable, and I was beside a man from the league actually at the game, and I said that he was unplayable the last day, and then after 10 minutes he said to me, he kind of looks like he's unplayable again today. Like, in fairness, the man that marked him, he tried his best, and he done it really well, and maybe he had a bit of a spell, but Keith, when he come at the hour, come at the man, like, he was great. But as well as that, it was a breath of fresh air to see, we'd say, and Donal Curtis himself said in the interview, like, it's great to see lads with, for want of a better word, the guts or the balls, if you want to say that, to just go out and play football. And none of this parking the bus, and, you know what I mean? It was absolutely brilliant, and it's great that they got rewarded for going out and playing good, open football. Like, at the end of the day, it's football, you know. That's the name of the game. It's not hand passing or handball. That's some of the game. It was just brilliant to see it. And probably I'm going to have to maybe change my amount of games that I go to, because this year, for whatever reason, I tended to go to an awful lot of Junior A and Junior B games, probably because that's the level my own team would be at and I'd be going to watch. But I'll have to start going to the intermediate, because, my God, I go to a lot of club games now, and I anyone I've spoken to, don't think anybody can remember a better game of football. It was an absolutely brilliant game of football, a brilliant weekend's football, and it's looked great for me, you know what I mean? Happy days and good feel-good factor there, and hopefully, that the quality that we saw in Park Tailteann last weekend can be built on into the county team, because we don't know, they need new blood as well, and hopefully Keith himself will, you know, nail down a spot there and bring that football to the county level, because he's well capable of doing it.
The Intermediate Championship is the championship that we say always delivers, and it keeps on delivering. But one thing you hit on there was, you know, the performances of Keith, and, you know, having the balls, let's say to take on shots and whatever, you know. In that semi-final against Navan and Matneys, he was kicking balls over the bar from all angles and from all distances and whatever. And I suppose that's something that's crept into the game, is that there's a shooting area and you're not supposed to shoot from outside that area. But Keith backs himself all the time, and more often than not, they go over the bar.
Yeah, and fair play, because, like, if you never shoot, you're never going to score. So he has the guts to do it, and obviously he has the ability to do it. And it's great to see it. It's absolutely great to see it. And they showed great resilience against Oldcastle. We'd say that sometimes, if you look back in a year, there's a particular game you can say that was the day our name was on the cup, and that could have been the day for Ratkenny. But it was great to see the likes of even Brian Mead there, a man of his age, and what he's given to Mead football. It was great to see that, how well he could play, you know. So fair play to Robert Kenny, like, you know, it's good, good country club that where football means a lot to the whole parish, and great for one of their own was there as well with them. Sure, Donal has been like excellent for Mead and now in management. Just winners, that's it.
Keith, just on that, you know, we were speaking before we started doing the interview off air, and we were talking about, you know, the fact that you were allowed to go out and just play football. I doubt that Donal ever said to you, that area there is the scoring area and you're not allowed to shoot from outside it. Because if he did, you never listened to him.
No, I think I put that down in the programme. What was the best advice I've ever received, pass the ball. But no, I said Donal, he's sort of old school in a way. He knows we're good footballers and he just lets us go out and play. Like, you know, there's not much tactics involved. I think if you have fitness, it's half the battle, and the rest of it, what your skills are going to take over. But I think there's plenty of good footballers in Rakenny. Sort of change, I was saying to Davey there, sort of changing the dynamic of Rakenny football. We've always been known for sort of doggedness and that sort of thing, but I think there's a bit of class now involved at Rakenny at the minute, and there's a good few young lads coming through as well that have that good football in them.
And you're just after winning the minor title as well, in the amalgamation with St Mary's, so another crop of young players to come through onto that team next year. And you know, not to be going into intermediate, those lads are going straight into senior football. It's brilliant for the club.
Yeah, it's brilliant for the club. It's obviously going to be a big step up for them lads. You want to get a good winter into them and take it from there. Look, yeah, it's a good crop of young lads coming through, so hopefully all stick together.
Finally, I suppose North Mead has probably been in the doldrums for many a year, but in the last couple of years, we're after seeing Castletown winning a Junior A, we're after seeing St Bridget's winning a Junior B, we're after seeing Rakenny now winning an intermediate championship. The future's bright for North Mead.
Yeah, as you says, you always have to have a North Mead lad in your team and the Mead team. So, look, Yogi's been a great servant, that sort of thing. So, hopefully, get a few more of us on the team, yeah.
And lastly, I suppose, again, a word for the Blackwater. We will be announcing the nominations for the Blackwater in Kiko Sports. We are Mead Team of the Year in the next few weeks. And we'll be announcing the date as well for the night over here in the Blackwater Inn. But again, our thanks to George and sponsoring these awards on a weekly basis throughout the championship.
Ah, look, geez, the work that George and your wife put in, it's unbelievable. And it's really sort of putting everyone on the map in Mead football. And fair play to you and Davey as well. So fair play to you, lads. Thanks very much, George. I really appreciate it now. Come on.
I never mentioned Leinster. You're out on Saturday. God, nearly forgot about it. Navena from Wexford. You're playing them in Park Tolchin, 2 o'clock on Sunday or Saturday. Better not let you go without speaking about that. How he is fixed, of all the little niggles and stuff cleared up, I'm presuming that David won't be ready for the Leinster campaign.
Different. It'd be amazing to see what we could change. But look, we had a good look at them there yesterday. They were very impressive in the final. Not only the intermediate football champions, they're senior hurling champions as well. So, look, they're very physical team, strong young team, probably similar to ourselves, but yeah, looking forward to the challenge anyway.
From all of us here, from George, myself, Davey and everybody involved, best of luck, and we'll be down cheering you on Saturday in Park Tolchin.
Appreciate it, lads. Thanks a million. Thanks very much, George. Cheers. Thank you.
Joined now by Summerhill's Davey Larkin after picking up the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week for finals weekend. Davey, I suppose, in the grand scheme of things, looking at the finals that you've lost over the last number of years, you had two Keegan Cup medals in your back pocket. But from talking to the outside, this one has to be the sweetest. You know, after losing four in, what was it, 5-6 years, you go and win the seventh year of asking.
Yes, I couldn't really put it better myself. Look, 11 and 13 were top class and days I won't forget. But after the losses, the four losses, as loads of people like to remind us, not out of badness, just in passing, definitely this year just was top notch. So it was.
You say not out of badness, but I'm going to come out of badness 2017.
Of course you are. That doesn't surprise me, and I knew that was coming, so I did. I knew that was coming.
Do you remember 2017?
I remember too well, like I remember every other one, so I do. No, definitely.
But like, to put in the performance that you put in the final, you're on a personal note, kicking 2 points on the day as well, against this Rathode side, who have dominated Mead football for the last number of years and have been a thorn in your side, I'd say you were happy with it yourself.
I couldn't have been happier. As I said, I didn't want Sunday to end. And when I woke up Monday morning, I had the biggest smile on my face I've had in a long time. And no, it's just been brilliant. Rathode are top class side, and they're going to be back. I've no doubt about that. Like, they'll probably look at this the way we looked at it last year and bounce back. So, it was one of them days where a lot of things went right for us, and thank God it did. So we'll build on that now and hopefully go on now into Leinster and see how we go.
Yeah, we'll come back to Leinster in a moment. I suppose just going back to not dwelling on the four losses, but what yous have done in the club over the last number of years and this conveyor belt of, you know, unbelievable footballers that you've had coming through, coming into that team, to add to the experience that was in the team, that must have been key in getting yous over the line last week.
Yeah, without a doubt, that's been the massive factor. Then with some great young lads driving it on, Adam McDonald, look, there's loads, even other boys in training and that mightn't even be making the starting 15, fringe of the panel type thing, showing up to train and driving it on. It's just been brilliant, so it has.
And we've said it already, the sweetest of your three Keegan Cup medals. And, you know, bring us back to the first one in 2011, like, because you've been on the go quite some time.
Yeah, the first one, yeah, look, 2011 was massive high, don't get me wrong, like, but you're young and you kind of think these days happen, you know, it mightn't happen next year, but in a year or two it'll happen again. Then all of a sudden, like, we were still getting to finals, but we just couldn't get over the line, and then all of a sudden it's a 10-year gap, but to get there, it's very sweet. And to be fair to management and everything, they've set us up well this year, put in a good platform last year, and we just built on that, and lucky too.
So. And I suppose with all these young players that are coming through, that's the experience that you're going to have to pass on to them, that this is not just going to happen year in, year out for these lads in Summerhill, that it has to be worked on. You have to evolve, and you have to, you know, get better as well year on year.
Every year you have to improve, even every week or so in training, you have to see a gradual improvement, because if you don't, you know, you'll be left behind, because every other team is looking for that extra 0.5%. It's minimum enough in Mead. Like, you know, if you can strike at the right time and get a good run, you'll go close. So you're just looking for that extra percent, and that's what the young lads have brought this year, and they'll keep building on that.
And George, to bring you in, I suppose he's talking about those little extra percentages, and that was key, you know, in that final, because it went to extra time. Rathode were after scoring that point just at full time to bring it to extra time, but it was those extra percentages that probably, I suppose, put them over the line in extra time. They had done the work, and these lads got what they deserved.
Absolutely got what they deserved. As we all know, sport at every level, it's very fine margins. I know it's maybe it's not a right comparison, but just look at the rugby match last night, like, inches, basically, you know what I mean? They were inches from the line, but Summerhill, as I said, like, they've worked hard for this, they've earned it. They may have been wrongly accused of being chokers or whatever, but look, you can take that two ways. You can let it get to you and you can believe it, or you can go and use it as extra motivation, and they obviously did that. And they're an absolute credit to their whole area. Like, they're, you know what I mean? It's not a massive area, but my God, even the stuff you hear about Davy Rispin saying coming through work and all the flags up, and then I read somewhere the morning went to the school, every one of them water boys, the whole lot included, like that. You know, they're actually a model that people should follow, and they're always have churned out top class players for the county, and they're still doing it. And fair play to them.
Absolutely, and churning them out is right. But, you know, the resilience that they showed, like, we've talked about the ones that they lost and whatever, but to keep coming back and keep coming back, you know, it was going to happen for them eventually. And one of the things that stood out for me when Conor Gilson spoke to us last week was that when it went to extra time, when the players all met inside, they were like, we're not losing this. We're not losing this. And that shows the mental character of these players.
That's right, yeah. You can have all the ability in the world, but yeah, the mentality, that, you know, that those few inches there, that's what makes an awful lot of difference. And yeah, as you said, they came out in extra time and were absolutely brilliant. And I suppose there's an old saying, good things come to those who wait. And from meeting Davy here tonight, I'd say good things come to good people as well who wait, because he's, you know, he's so appreciative of this and he's so genuine and down-to-earth, and fair play to him. It's great to see it.
Absolutely. Dave, we mentioned earlier on, you know, Leinster, you're coming up against Tullamore next Sunday. It's in Tullamore. Like, one of the things I hit on the podcast during the week was that you have been to all these finals that you lost, and whenever you're used to all the celebrations, because the celebrations are the same win, lose or draw, to an extent, you go on the beer for a few days. Yous are well used to that, so yous know what it's like to be in finals. So what has it been like for the last week, I suppose, celebrations-wise, and did you turn your attentions to Leinster fairly quickly during the week of celebrations?
Yeah, look, we certainly enjoyed it Sunday night, maybe Monday and Tuesday as well. Connor put up a message Wednesday, regrouped Thursday evening and down to the pitch, and thankfully we accounted for most lads, if not all of them. So got a bit done, and straight away that was thinking of first round of Leinster. Leinster for me is funny. If you're not 100% tuned in, you know, you can be sent home very quick. You know, there's no, obviously, straight knockout, but if you're not tuned in, you'll be out of the game within the first 10 minutes, and before you know it, that dream's over. And it's definitely something we're going to focus on, hopefully hitting that first 10 minutes and building from there.
And I suppose, like, it is an away day, but the fact that you're living in Summerhill, you're not too far from Tullamore, really. You're probably the closest team, Ballinabraki, to Tullamore. So it's not too far of a drive, and you'll be well tuned in for Sunday.
No, we will be, definitely. We've set the stall out now Thursday night in training. We've built it this morning. And, no, look, we'll make the trip down the road and hopefully represent Meath well and put in a good performance and build from there.
Well, we want more of the same from you, Davey, after the performance you put in the senior final. We want to wish you the best of luck, and thanks a million for coming over.
Thank you very much, and I'd just like to thank the Blackwater Inn here as well for having us over. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks, George.
Davey, our good friend, Kieran Flynn, the County Board Secretary, has been in contact with us, and he just asked us to bring something to the attention of our listeners. It's the Mead GAA 2023 Hurling Players Survey. So I'm just going to give the details of it and let our listeners know. So, Accordia, we are reaching out to all active adult hurling players in Meath with an opportunity to voice their opinions regarding our current competition structures. As part of our ongoing commitment to improving and evolving hurling in our county, we have designed a survey aimed at gathering insights and feedback directly from the players, the heart and soul of the games, of our games. The survey touches on various aspects, including the format of adult hurling cups, leagues and championships, and will be invaluable in guiding our future decisions and ensuring we align our actions with the preferences of the player community. Please note, while the survey is anonymous, meaning we will not link your responses to your identity, we are gathering information about which GAA club you represent and at which level you play. Rest assured, this data is strictly for analytical purposes and will be reported only in aggregate, keeping specific clubs and level details confidential. So it's HGT. Anyway, you'll get the link. We'll be able to send that out on our social media platforms. We kindly request you to take a few minutes to fill out the survey. By participating, you're playing a pivotal role in shaping the future of hurling in Meath. If you have any questions or need assistance, please do not hesitate to contact me. We truly appreciate your time and insights. Thank you for your dedication and contributing to the growth and excellence of hurling in Meath. Kieran Flynn, Meath GAA County Secretary. Davey, just on that, I think that's brilliant that the county board have looked at this. They are looking at structural changes to the championship, but they're saying, let's get the opinion of the players first, because they're the main stakeholders in this.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's an absolutely brilliant move by the Meath County Board to do something like this and, you know, literally get the players to voice their concerns or their suggestions on how it could be improved or what they would like to see. I think it's great, and they'll obviously take everything on board, and they're going to shape things accordingly too. I think it's a really, really good move, to be honest with you. I think the football equivalent is probably, you know, people probably feel it's in better fettle the way it's shaped. But I'd be absolutely welcome to seeing that in football in terms in years to come as well, if the county board do wish so. So hats off to everybody involved in that. It's a really, really good move. And hopefully all the players from all the clubs that are playing hurling at adult level engage with it and give it their opinions, because that's exactly what it's designed for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to all the club hurlers out there, if you don't find the link on our social media or on BGA social media, get in contact with your own PRO within your club, because they will have the details, and do fill it in. It's very, very important that the actual club players fill this in and not the supporters, because this is all about the club players at the end of the day. So take the 5 minutes to fill in the form and get it back to Kieran Flynn and the other guys that are going to be looking after this. I think it's a brilliant initiative by the Meath County Board. Hats off to the lads for that one. Just something else we wanted to mention as well, Davey, because Central Sounds Mothers and Others are heading off to the Big Apple. They're heading off to New York. Well, at this stage, Davey, I'd play for the Mothers and Others if I was allowed to go to New York on a trip like that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. That's a blitz over in New York. I think next year that Mothers and Others teams could appeal to go on. I know the Gorton Mothers and Others would be disappointed they didn't make the cut, but it's brilliant for the Southstown ones. And I know Laura Burke's been in touch with us a few times about different things. Do you remember with the All-Ireland Games as well over in Kentstown? She's doing great work, and she was to the fore in setting up this Mothers and Others team. So hats off to them. They'll have a great time. I listened to Game On 2FM, and I know Marie Crow, who hosts Game On, she plays Mothers and Others, I think, with St. Jude's, and I think they're going as well. So I can only imagine. I've seen some of the videos from the blitzes that do go on in Dublin, and it looks like unbelievable crack.
It's a bit like bingo local, so it is.
Yeah, but I mean, a bit of football playing as well, and it's all pretty casual in that, like, they don't keep score and everything like that, but they have a bit of crack and they enjoy it. And isn't that exactly what GA is for at the end of the day? Fantastic to see.
That's what they should call it, is Mothers and Others, GAA Local. To give a little bit of the interview that they did for LMFM, excitement is building for members of the Central Sinn Mothers and Others Gaelic football team as they prepare to play a blitz in Gaelic Park, New York next month. In April 2022, sisters Cathy Ann Cowley and Laura Burke felt that there was a need to set up something in the local area for women to meet up, socialise and keep active, and they set about setting up the Mothers and Others Gaelic team. After pinning the poster up about it in the local shop, the sisters were astounded to find 70 women turn up for the first training night. That's absolutely astounding. Incredible stuff. The team is made up of women from all ages, backgrounds and sporting abilities, and many of the team members would never have played sport before. And after a few training sessions, where Cathy Ann admits, "We didn't know what direction we were going to kick the ball," the women gradually gained confidence and have improved week on week, and even competed in a blitz at both Leinster and national level. It's fantastic stuff. There's some pictures there as well of Laura dressed up. She said, "I've dressed up as Barbie, a cow with others. It doesn't matter as long as I'm making them feel relaxed." That's what she does to make the women feel relaxed when they arrive to the pitch. It's absolutely brilliant. There's costumes galore being worn, and they're getting ready to head off to Gaelic Park. It's an incredible social fun thing to be doing, because, you know, I remember when the GEA used to be a bit of crack, and it used to be great fun to play football and whatever. It's all gone very, very serious. But with the over 40s, the dads and lads and the mothers and others, they bring it to a different level. They just, because it is all about the crack. It's all about socialising. It's all about getting a little bit of exercise and then socialising together and meeting up and having that bit of fun, Davey.
That's it, Mickey. And it brings like all different levels. You'll have players who have never played. You'll have players that have played at the top level. You know, you'll have young ladies who've never played GA. You'll have women who've had kids and want to come back and play a bit of sports. You'll have others that just want to make friends and socialise and everything like that. It's just a brilliant, brilliant concept. And hats off to the LGFA for the work in which they've done. And indeed, all the clubs who have kind of taken on their own back to set up these clubs in Meath and in other places as well. It's just great. And yeah, hopefully they have a brilliant weekend over in Gaelic Park.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best luck to the Central Sound Ladies, Mothers and Others team, who, as you said, are heading over to New York next month. Incredible stuff.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Okay, Davey, it's time to move on to our Lotto segment. Have the PROs been in contact with you? They were, and you sent it on to me because you're sitting in an airport in Gran Canaria and you can't read your phone because you're using it for our Zoom session.
That's it, exactly. I've just got a little picture of you in my top right of the screen, Mickey, and that's all I can see here. Earbuds in front of me, so I'm going to leave you to take it away this time.
Oh, great stuff. Well, we're going to start off with Cortown's Lotto. Davey usually likes to leave this one till the end because he can big it up then and whatever. Cortown's Lotto last week was €16,300. The numbers drawn were 1, 8, 20 and 28. There was no jackpot winner. The €20 lucky dip winners were Amy and John Smith, if I'm not mistaken, Morris Codd, Christy Farrell, Thomas Carey, and Eileen Bruton. And next week's Lotto will be €16,400. The winner of the trolley dash, or the finalist, sorry, that goes through to the trolley dash was Seamus Duffy. And so well done to Seamus. Moving on then to Minalti's results. The numbers drawn last week were 4, 18, 19, and 28. There was no jackpot winner. There was three match three winners, each receiving €70 each. That's not bad for a match three. Josephine Smith from Mullagh, Stephanie Lynch from Tullyatton, Valerie O'Connell from Kells. And there was one special online prize, and they received €50. That was Kate Allen from Minalti. Next week's jackpot will be €3,800. Waterstown's jackpot last week was not won. It was €8,900, if I'm not mistaken. The numbers drawn were 1, 6, 10, and 15. And the two match three winners were Grace McGuinness and Lucia Powell. Maybe next week's lotto could be €8,900. That's what it could be. But still no winner out there in Waterstown. Lots of big jackpots as we lead into Christmas as well, Davey.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And again, we'd always encourage people to support the club lottos, Mickey. You know, it's the main source of income for a lot of clubs. And as you say, in the lead up to Christmas, wouldn't it be absolutely brilliant to win one of those big jackpots?
Oh, would you stop? Wouldn't it be absolutely fantastic? We're not finished. There's still many more of them to come. Longwood's jackpot is €2,300. There was no winner of their jackpot last week. The numbers drawn were 13, 15, 24 and 25. The lucky dips were David Cullen, Amy Smith-Finnegan and Murray Duffy. Minalvi's are up next. Their numbers drawn last week were 14, 18, 22 and 25. There was no winner of that jackpot. The three €20 winners were Pádraig Donoghue, Tina Melia and Tracy Brady. This week's lotto that took place last night was €5,000, but we did not have the results in on time for that one. Drumbarra's jackpot last week was not won. It was €3,600. They had five lucky dip winners, each receiving €30. Jaron Val O'Sullivan, Aisling Moore, Anna Brady, Rumpo, care of O'Connor's Bar, and Emma and Mary, care of Johnny Connolly. Moving on then to Kilmainham's, no winner last week on Monday. Again, their jackpot would have been, or just their lotto would have been on there tonight, so we don't have the results of that one. 3, 6, 12 and 16 were the numbers drawn. The five lucky dip winners were Annie O'Reilly, Sarah Jackson, Mazur, Erica O'Reilly and Cathal McEntee. Next week's jackpot will be €9,400. Navin O'Matney's lotto was next, 4, 8, 16 and 26. There was no jackpot winner. The match three winners were Elsie Gorman, Mr. George, Gino, Sandra Ogle and Gary O'Brien. Next week's lotto was a massive €13,250. Brilliant stuff. I have a couple more to get through. We just have to switch across here and we'll get them. I have one up here on the screen in front of me as well. So Central Sales Lotto last Monday, the jackpot was not won. 11, 20, 21 and 22 were the numbers. The €525 winners were Mark Mooney, Shane Finnegan, Matty McCabe, Zoe Moore and Bernie Muldoon. Matty McCabe, of course, a double All-Ireland winning Central Town player back in the day. Fantastic footballer was Matty. Next week's jackpot is €5,700. From Simonstown, the lotto last Friday night was not won. It was €4,050. The lucky dip winners were Brenda O'Reilly, Ollie Boland and Darren Murray. The numbers wrong were 5, 9, 18 and 27. Darren Murray is a coach with me. He's the head coach of the under-10s. And Ollie Boland was involved with our team in 16 and 17 when we won the championships. Moving on then to Kilmainham Woods. And their lotto last week was not won. The numbers drawn were 13, 16, 20 and 24. And the five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were Geraldine Blake, Sylvia Riley, Tommy Owens, Helen Baker and Deirdre O'Reilly. Deirdre O'Reilly, the jackpot this week will be €4,000. Davey, you may fill in for a minute. I need a break.
Fair play to you, Mickey. You held it together quite well, I have to say. You're not used to that sort of volume. A lot of us coming your way, but
we usually split them up. You usually have the majority of them, but you get a break at the end when I do the...
You need a feckin' break, wouldn't you? It's quite a bit of work. It's intense reading out all them names and numbers and everything.
Two and a drink of water now at this stage. My throat is going. Anyways,
can I get a barrel, please, Carol?
Can I get a B, please, Bob? We're going to have to continue on and I'm going to have to do it. It's on to Instagram Interactive, Davey. And once again, you're not able to do it, so it's been sent on to me to do it. So you're going to play my part this week, and I'm going to play your part. So you're going to answer each of these messages on Instagram Interactive. Okay, the first one that we have true is from the Mannix, and it's straight up, it's Davey Rispin. Davey's never-ending trips abroad. I can answer that one. Yeah, I'm not happy about it either, so I'm not the Mannix.
Yeah, lads, you're all very welcome to come with me. Like, literally, it's not a closed poker act like that. You're more than welcome to come.
Someone has to hold the fort, Davey. Someone has to hold the fort.
True, in fairness, yeah.
Next one up is from Lindsay Mack. And it's, again, the ladies of this county never get to play in Park Tolchin. And I answered that one last week, Davey. Do you want to give your little reply to it?
I think we talked about this last week. Listen, look, it would be great to see them getting into Park Tolchin a bit more, but at the same time, Park Tolchin is kind of owned or ran by MGA first and foremost, and probably four hurling finals in there last Saturday and Sunday, so it just wasn't possible to get the ladies' finals in. It's not as if, you know, Park Tolchin was sitting there idle or dormant for last weekend. It was heaving as well, so again, maybe a little bit better planning between the two organisations or associations. Maybe they could find a gap week to possibly get the ladies into Park Tolchin. I don't know. But at the same time, I don't think there's any sort of cynicism involved in it, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, well, as we said, like, they're separate organisations and all of the pitches are owned by the GAA, and the LGFA and the Camogie Association are separate associations who actually borrow the facilities from the GAA. Now, look, we all want to see them being brought in under the one umbrella. And maybe when that happens, then they will have to sit down and say, right, okay, now we have to look at weekends where we're going to put on the hurling finals, the football finals, the Camogie finals and the LGFA finals. And what would be brilliant as well, maybe in Park Tolchin, would be floodlights. And that might help the whole thing. You know, you could spread them all out a little bit better. But Lindsay, we hear you. We understand where you're coming from, but that is the lie of the land at the moment. And we'd love to see those finals in there as well. But I think Simonstown did a really good job of the finals on Saturday and Sunday.
They did. In fairness, yeah, their traffic management, everything was spot on. Hats off.
Yeah, it's not Park Tolchin, but you know, it's what it is. From Rhys McGuire, one Oran Carlin attending a training camp in Spain when the season's over, and we have another one there from Andy Yock, one. And it's Conor Rowan has the Kells lads on strings. No idea what either of them are about, Davey.
I think the latter one is in relation to the minor hurling final. Again, we won't go into any in great detail. I think we're better to steer clear of both of those, Mickey.
I wonder if Conor Rowan is a minor hurler from...
He's a brilliant hurler, in fairness.
Ah, okay. An incredible double for Dunboyne. I'm sure we'll get to that. And on Oran Callan attending a training camp in Spain. Was he with you, Davey?
No. Did you organise
a training camp in Spain?
I wasn't doing any training in Spain, I can tell you that here and now. So he'd have been no use to me, or I'd have been no use to him.
Did you not do any training at all, Davey? Like, did you not?
Absolutely nothing.
They didn't break into a sweat at all.
No, just sitting on the bed, the sunbed. That was it.
Yeah, that'd be enough for me to break a sweat in that weather, so it would. Moving on from PS tapes. why was Rispin forced to go on holidays the week of the ladies' finals? Well, that was...
I'll cut him off there. I wasn't forced.
No, sorry, David. That was a requirement from Mead LGFA. He wouldn't be around.
Well, and there's Walter saying, looking for the pair of us to go over on Sunday night. Like, so, you know, we're getting mixed messages.
Yeah, had you known that, obviously, you wouldn't mind debate, Davey, that's for sure. From Kieran O'Hare, 0-0, will Rakeni survive in senior championship next year, Dave?
That's a really good question. I haven't put too much thought into it. I say they will, if you ask me to kind of call it now. But obviously, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I don't think they'll go up and be just as progressive as Dunshaughlin and Trim were. I just don't think they're that well set. But I do see them going up and stabilising themselves. And I think that's all they would like to do in the first 2 or 3 years. So I hope they can, because there's nothing worse than seeing a team going up and coming straight back down. But I think they have a bit about them, so they should be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads me into, I suppose, just talking about the Loyal Royals briefly. On our Loyal Royals podcast this week, we will be doing Leinster Championship, Club Championship previews for all the clubs taking part in the Leinster Club Championship this weekend. Of course, we have Rakeni and we have Summerhill out. I'm not sure if our junior winners, Kilbride, are out this weekend.
They're out on Saturday against Amsterdam and Ashburn.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're out in Ashburn. That's right. I forgot about that. But we will be previewing all them. And we will be bringing you our most recent power rankings, the We Are Mead club power rankings for 2023 after the championships are over. So in that power rankings, we'll see where Rakeni sit now, and that will tell us whether Davey believes they will stay in senior championship next year or not. So he's already made his bed. Now he's going to have to light it when it comes to the power rankings, which is brilliant to see. So moving on with our Instagram interactive and our talking points. From Shamie Byrne, 99, Lucy Reynolds' performance in the junior final was incredible. Outstanding.
Yeah, she was playing wing forward for Waterstown, and I believe she played extremely well, as did most of them. They're such a young team. Joey Farley, again, just a word for him, the job in which he's done with Waterstown, and they're on a real upward trajectory. They're going into intermediate next year. Wouldn't at all surprise me if they went and won the intermediate next year either, but they're out of junior, which is their big objective for the year, and they did, of all the finals across the weekend in hurling and ladies, that was the most emphatic of wins that they had over Manalvi, so fair play to them.
Yeah, and hard luck to Manalvi as well. Were they beaten in the final last year as well?
Yeah, by Ultons, yeah.
Yeah. So, third time lucky, let's just say, for them. Hope they can go on and win it next year. But well done to Waterstown. Absolutely brilliant from them. Josh Fella, he says, Dunboyne's historic double minor win. And we talked about that already. Incredible stuff. Minor Division 1 Hurling Championship and the Minor Division 1 Football Championship.
Yeah, unreal. And, you know, testament to the work, as we said already, that's going on there. And surely that's only conducive to more success to come in the future for them in senior hurling and football.
Kieran McCormack, I think it is. He just says, Dunboyne double, question mark. I'm going to do Ron Burgundy on it. There's a question mark in there, so I'm going to put it in. Dunboyne double?
Yeah. I'd say there was doubles and trebles all weekend in Dunboyne after that, yeah. Yeah, not for the young lads, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say double seven up and pints of seven up and stuff. Again, Cian Rowan, he just says, when you asked him, you know, what are the talking points, he said it has to be Dunboyne's historic double. Again, Cian Duggan, he was Dunboyne's historic double with the praise hands. Connor M06, Dunboyne's historic double. You know, incredible. They're all talking about it. And rightly so, because when was the last team to do that, I wonder? And who was the last team to do that?
I was only thinking about that when we started talking about it earlier on. I can't think. It's definitely an unprecedented one for Dunboyne, I'm sure, but I don't know. It's a hell of an achievement.
When you think
Ashburn came pretty close, was it last year?
Yeah, did they lose one of the finals? Did they lose the minor final football?
Yeah, and hurling, yeah.
No, they did not win the hurling with your man O'Sullivan, wasn't it?
No,
they full forward.
Did they not lose the hurling and win the football?
Well, maybe it was one or the other or whatever. And like teams that you'd put in that bracket, Trim, Navan O'Matney's, maybe probably Navan O'Matney's were probably the last ones to do it, actually.
Probably Retolts. Yeah, it's a good one. We'll have to look back on it.
We'll have to look back on that. It's probably been really recent and we just missed it. Al Mack said the treble dream lives on, and I presume that he's on about Kildare there.
Yeah, the only ones I feel sorry for here in Kildare is actually their intermediate hurlers, because their champagne is literally on ice, and all the celebrations that went on last weekend after the junior and this weekend after the senior, and they're having to, I'm sure they had a bit of crack in that, but they'll be fully focused now on completing the job next weekend against Navan O'Matney's in that replay. Nick Fitzgerald at the helm as well there. It would just cap off the most remarkable years imaginable for them if they did it. And you'd be rooting for them, but at the same time, Navan O'Matney's, like, you know, they'll have a massive part to play as they did last weekend. It should be another terrific final because it was outstanding last weekend.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that the weather holds up, because the weather this weekend was brilliant for the finals. Finally, Davey, Jay McQueenie, 99, Dunboyne's minor double again. He's talking about it. Yeah. So we've said plenty about that, but Jay, always in contact with the podcast.
Yeah, that's Joe, and he'd have got some kick out of the last few weeks for them, you know, and I know he wears his heart on the sleeve when it comes to Dunboyne in general, you know, and he would have been gutted at the year in which both the footballers and hurlers at senior level endured. So it's great to see for a club man like him to see the green shoots coming. I'm sure it's a hell of a buzz.
Yeah, absolutely, and they'll only bolster the hurling team, the senior hurling team, and the senior football team next year. That's all our Instagram, Davey. So before we finish up again, just to remind our listeners to put the 11th of November, Saturday the 11th of November, into your diary. We're going to be in the Blackwater Inn in Kells for the Kiko Sports We Are Mead All-Stars for 2023. The nominations are going to come out in the not too distant future. They'll be out within the next 4 or 5 days. We'll get that out, and we want to hear your thoughts. If anybody out there has any players that they think should be nominated or should be winning a jersey this year on the All-Stars team, do get in contact with us. But a night that we're looking forward to, as I said, Davey, and again, just pushing as many people to get over to the Blackwater in Kells to support this, because this is all about the club players and me.
Well, that's it, and now you have the date, so literally put it in the diary and mark your card, you know, for the 11th of November, and we'll produce all the finer details in the next few weeks, and we look forward to welcoming everyone, and not just the players and clubs, but it's a great chance for us, Mickey, to socialise with our listeners as well. So anybody that listens to us on a weekly basis, it'd be just brilliant to meet them and have a drink with them and just have a chat with them, because it's nice to kind of give something back as well, you know, from our perspective, because the listeners are always so good to us throughout the course of the year. So It's for the players and it's for the clubs, but it's for our listeners as well. And we'd love to see everybody over there if possible.
Yeah, well, some of them might even want to give us a clip, so they might, for some of the things that we've said through the air. Can we just, I just want to put it out there now before the night happens that I apologise for anything I said that was derogatory towards you or your club over the last 12 months.
Yeah, distance yourself completely.
And anything Davey said, I want to distance myself from that as well.
I could just picture the angry mob coming from Bohemian, like the Simpsons with the torches lit and everything coming towards the Blackwater.
And they wouldn't have too far to walk either.
No, we might actually have to have bouncers on the door. Will you note that? Get that down and write quick.
just take a note of that one. But absolutely. Look, we'd love to see as many people over there as possible. And of course, I think he's talking about the Bohemian ones. He's talking about St. Dalton's and Kilmainham and Cawtown and Clanmacail and the whole lot. We won't just single out any one club in the parish of Bohemian. But again, before we finish, best of luck to Kilbride, who take on Amsterdam on Saturday in Ashburn in the Leinster Championship. To Kilkenny, who take on St. Dana's of Wexford at 2 o'clock in Park Tolchin on Saturday. Very best of luck. And then it's Summerhill's turn on Sunday. They're the ones that are away. They're travelling down to Tullamore to take on the Offaly champions, which is Tullamore in Bordenamona Park is right. So best luck to all three teams. You've got the backing of everybody from Mead behind you. So that's it from this episode of your We Are Mead podcast. We remember, We Are Mead. Why matters more.